better off. Hello, Amazing Avenue audio listeners. Welcome back to A Pod of Their Own, opening day edition. We are recording this on opening day of baseball, but not opening day for the Mets, Thursday night. But by the time you hear this, it will be opening day for the Mets. This is episode 55 of A Pod of Their Own. I am Allison McCaig, and I am joined this week, like I am every week, by my lovely co-hosts, Linda Surovich. Hi, Linda.
Hey, Allison.
And Maggie Wiggin. Hi, Maggie.
Hi, Allison.
So, as I mentioned, it is opening day for baseball, but we'll start with the Mets, who open tomorrow night against the Braves, with Jacob deGrom on the mound, of course. But everything else, minus the fact that Jacob deGrom is pitching as scheduled after a little bit of a scare with his back stiffness, or whatever they called it, everything else has kind of gone to shit.
Like, is this the price we had to pay for Jake to be okay?
Yeah, it's true. Like, there's always some karma to be paid. It's like, well, Jacob deGrom is fine, but guess what? No one else is. Ha ha ha.
Like, I've been watching a lot of Avengers Infinity War because it's just been on TV, and I just keep thinking of a soul for a soul, and I'm like, that's what we are right now.
Linda, Michael and I literally just watched Infinity War not too long ago. It was one of the more recent movies on our MCU journey. For those of you not familiar, Michael is making me watch every MCU movie in a row in order of their release, and so we recently watched Infinity War, and then after that we watched Ant-Man and the Wasp. So I now understand that I don't feel so good memes.
Well, I also was surprised you were the first person to like my Captain America tweet the other day. I was like, Allison gets the reference.
I get it now. The Captain America tweet was so funny. That was probably one of my favorite moments in any of the movies, was just the Cap videos in. Yeah.
You got detention.
So you got detention. Those were really good. Anyway, back to the Mets. So in case you haven't heard, in case you're still blessedly unaware of this information, Marcus Stroman has a tear in his calf. Before, it was in usual Mets fashion, it was like, oh, calf tightness, it's no big deal. And then it was a huge deal. Stroman's still tweeting that it's not a big deal, by the way.
Yeah.
He's like, this is just a minor setback. I'm like, you tore your calf.
It's a couple weeks. It'll be fine.
But, yeah, a couple weeks is maybe all the season has.
Exactly. Like, minor setbacks are the entire season now. So, yeah, so Stroman tore his calf. So, like, I don't know. Seems like you shouldn't rely on him for anything this season. Obviously, Noah Syndergaard, we already knew about that, had Tommy John surgery, so it's out for the year. So now our fifth starter is Corey Oswalt, apparently, is the latest on that.
Let's get weird.
So yeah, I think it was Mike Mayer of Mets Mesmerized tweeted like last year, like the rotation at the end of 2019 and the rotation now, and it's depressing. I don't recommend you look.
Yeah, because please don't compare them. Please, it's depressing enough.
It's the as long as we're on memes, it's the pitching equivalent of the me versus the guy she tells me not to worry about meme.
Yes, it is. It is. So yeah, the Mets rotation's not in a good state right now. Aside from DeGrom,
and then they released their 60-man or their opening day roster
the
today.
The 30-man.
Oh yeah,
did they even come up with 30?
And like everybody was excited about Andrés Giménez, which I get, but the only thing I could think of is, like, that's our bullpen, like, Shreve and Seawald. I was like, what happened?
It's rough, because if you, so if you're not up to date on the entire Mets injury report, other Mets on the injured list include Robert Gizelman, Walker Lockett, Jed Lowry, LOL, which, you know, Jed Lowry, we still have not solved the mystery of what is wrong with Jed Lowry, apparently, and after, like,
who
you know.
Who is Jed Lowry?
Who is Jed Lowry, really?
Why is Jed Lowry?
Why is Jed Lowry is the more prudent question.
Well, we all know why. Because Mets.
But after pretending for, you know, a week or two that Jed Lowrie was going to play, they finally gave up the ruse on that and put him on the injured list to start the year. And Jared Hughes and Brad Brock are both on the injured list with undisclosed ailments. Gazelman and Lockett, we know what's wrong with both of them, but the other two we don't know. So that obviously prompts COVID-19 speculation, but the team has not come out either way on that. So we don't know what's up with either.
Tim Britton had a good tweet about that. Because if they weren't, the only way they would have had room on the roster is if those two were on the COVID list.
So it's
pretty much confirmed that those two are on.
Oh, your guy.
I know, Birdland.
I know, I'm very sad. I'm very upset that Birdland here boy.
The Mets have 43 players on their 40-man roster. We know Syndergaard is an extra on the 60-day IL, but these roster moves only work if two more are on the COVID IL.
Yeah, and that leaves Hughes and Brock. So that's deeply
unfortunate. This is a very silly system. This is a system that is silly. I just need to say.
And also, not to make light of it, but leave it up to the Mets to sign somebody who immediately has to go on the COVID list.
Yeah, for real. In Jared Hughes, yes. So our bullpen's in a sad state because of that. I mean, like, obviously, like, even me, biggest Brad Brock stan, you probably know, will admit that he's, like, not the most key member of the Mets bullpen by any stretch of the imagination, nor is Robert Gazelman. But the fact that all of these depth options are now eliminated means that behind the high leverage guys in Lugo, Familia, Diaz, and Betances, there is basically nothing behind them.
Yeah,
nothing,
like, I can't wait for an Oswalt start, him only to last three innings, and for them to bring in Shreve, who has to stay in for three batters and doesn't retire any of them.
Yeah, very excited.
So that's fine.
Yep, that's it.
Very excited.
Mets baseball in 2020, everyone. And I mean, that's why, so on Amazon Avenue, we put up in the aftermath of the Stroman news, we published a, like, sort of quick and dirty opinion piece with a few of the writers pitching who should be the Mets' fifth starter. Linda, you contributed to that piece as well.
I did, and I got cabbaged immediately.
You did get cabbaged immediately, because who'd you pick?
I picked Harvey.
Yeah, you picked Harvey, and then Harvey is now nearing a deal with the Kansas City Royals, of all teams.
That is cruel.
It is kind of a kick in the nuts, the theoretical nuts. For Matt Harvey to sign with the Royals, but apparently that's happening. We'll see updates on that.
It also sucks because it makes it a lot harder to wish the best for him.
Yeah, it really does.
Because I still do wish the best for him.
Just not the Royals.
Not so much.
I'll allow Matt Harvey to be good and the rest of the Royals to be bad, which they're not supposed to be.
It seems like a decent possibility.
So I hope Matt Harvey resurrects his career, even if it's with the team I don't like. That'd be fine. But yeah, so obviously Linda got cabbaged immediately. People are arguing for David Peterson to be promoted, which, you know, isn't the worst idea. I think it's a better option than Corey Oswalt, probably. I impassionately argued for Seth Lugo to be the fifth starter. People have opinions about that, apparently. People don't like... I'm the minority in that opinion, apparently. But I think Seth Lugo should start. I think, Linda, you made an excellent point about Corey Oswalt. Like, he goes three innings, then what do you do? Like... because people were saying, oh, mm-hmm. Seth Lugo's not stretched out, and at best he can probably only throw 60 to 70 pitches anyway because he's not that good, like, the third time through the lineup and beyond. And it's like, well, yeah, then just do that. Because throw him 60 to 70 pitches, which is how long Corey Oswalt would last in the game anyway, and then maybe you're, you know, in a competitive situation rather than down 6-0 by the fourth inning.
Yeah.
Is what I'll say about that. And also, like, whose leg does Seth Lugo have to hump to get a spot start? Seriously.
He wants to start so bad.
He really does.
And be like, every opportunity, every time a beat has, like, the microphone in his face, he's like, yeah, I'm feeling pretty good out there. I want to start.
Yeah, yeah. And people, like, you know, Mets Twitter will get all, you know, their panties in a bunch about that. But I'm not upset about it, because, I mean, there's a difference between the way Seth Lugo handles it, which is basically like, I want to be a starter, but whatever the team needs me for, I'm there. And, like, straight up complaining, like when Jose Reyes complained that he didn't get enough playing time. Like, there's a difference between the way that they handled those situations, and I think that is perfectly understandable for Seth Lugo to be frustrated, given the fact that he's done nothing but perform and is constantly overlooked for inferior options in the rotation.
Although, did you see, it was in the beginning of the year, I think, or maybe it was recent, but it was definitely in the before times, where he thinks the Astros are the ones, he's blaming the Astros for killing his starting career, basically.
Oh, yeah, remember that. Because they were cheating, and they beat him up one time.
Yeah, they beat him up, and then that was the last time he started.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, really, the big reason why that's the last time he started is not because he pitched poorly, it's because he made himself into such a good reliever that the Mets feel he's indispensable out of the bullpen now. And it's understandable.
That is the catch.
Yeah.
But that also is what differentiates him from Reyes, because Reyes is going out there saying that he was pitching badly because he wasn't getting enough playing time. Lugo is doing the thing that he doesn't really want to do, and he's doing it incredibly well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's like, I totally get it. Like, we already mentioned how thin the bullpen depth is at this point. Like, beyond Seth Lugo and Jairys Familia and Edwin Diaz and Dellin Betanzas, all of which the other three besides Seth Lugo have major question marks around their heads for various reasons, be it Diaz and Familia's questionable performance last year and trying to bounce back from that, and Dellin Betanzas trying to bounce back from a major injury in 2019. So, like, I get that the bullpen needs that. I think Jack had the not Seth Lugo opinion, and I respectfully disagree, But I think Jack called Lugo the security blanket, and I do think that's a good term for him. He is the bullpen security blanket. I get that. But to me, it comes down to a simple matter of Lugo is the best pitcher not named Jacob deGrom that the Mets have right now. You should give him the most innings. Like, to me, it's simple math. Your better pitchers should pitch more.
And, like, you don't have the option of punting a game in a 60-game season like you do in a 160-game season.
Precisely. My dad and I were talking about that today and saying, like, you know, you can't just forfeit every Corey Oswalt start when the season's only 60 games long. Although a million teams make the playoffs now, but we'll get to that later. But yeah, so I think Seth Lugo should start. I mean, like, in the end, either way, it's not a great situation. It's not an ideal situation for the Mets to be in pitching-wise. Luckily, on the other side of the ball, their lineup is relatively unaffected, aside from Jed Lowry, but they're pretty used to playing without him at this point. So they have their, more or less, their everyday lineup ready to go, and Jake Marisnyk, I think, is a little banged up, but they didn't actually put him on the IL, as far as I know.
Well, we have Ligaris now.
Now we have Juan Ligaris. Yes, we have Juan Ligaris is back, and then who else did they sign? They got Juan Ligaris, and then Dozier, that's right, they got Dozier and Ligaris.
And they dropped Melky.
R.I.P.
Yeah, we hardly knew ye.
Matt Adams.
Former future
Met Melky Cabrera. Melky Cabrera and Matt Adams, we hardly knew ye.
And Adams already re-signed with the Braves, so everybody was like, oh, he's the new Adeyemi Echeverria.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And Matt, think about all the years ahead of us we have to remind ourselves that Matt Adams was on the Mets.
Yes, he was for 5 minutes.
It'll be like a trivia question someday. Name everybody on the 2020 Mets from the end of December to the start of July.
Carlos Beltran.
Oh, no. Oh, no, .jpg.
Nobody would get any, like, nobody would nail 100% that question.
Yeah. No. I guess literally impossible. The only thing about the Mets lineup right now that's been a topic of discussion lately is that it seems Luis Rojas, at least initially, is insisting on hitting Robinson Cano third, which I think is not the best decision in the world.
Look, you just have to expose all of his weaknesses as often as possible, and they'll just clear right up.
Well, somebody pointed out, oh, damn, I can't remember what tweet it was. It's like, huh. This decision spans three managers. It's almost like someone else is making that decision.
It's almost like this is coming from above. Yeah.
Yeah.
A call is coming from inside the house.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. It doesn't inspire much confidence that Luis Rojas is going to be one to go against what the higher-ups have to say, although I don't think that we ever were under any illusions about that as a first-time manager and one that was, you know, promoted internally as it was. So,
Luis Rojas, he seems like such a good dude. I'm rooting hard for him.
I know, me too. And like,
he's in an impossible situation.
That's exactly what I was gonna say. Like, he can't, like, I don't, even if his managerial decisions this season are horrid, like, I'm just gonna probably give him the benefit of the doubt, because imagine being a first time manager and this being the first season that you have to do. Like, what?
And Hefner too, he's a first time pitching coach. Like, what did they do? Like, I guess he was using, like, Zoom and stuff to keep his pitchers ready. But how, like, it's so unprecedented. What do you even base your like, training on? I don't know how.
I just had the most
plan for this.
I just had the most hilarious image of, like, imagine if the pitching coach was Phil Regan and he was trying to work Zoom. And
I was just thinking,
Phil, you're muted. Phil, no one can hear you. Phil.
The camera's like angled way up his nose.
Oh my god.
Phil, lower.
Lower. Oh my god, that's so funny. But yeah, so at least Jeremy Hefner can probably work Zoom. He seems young and savvy enough for that. But yeah, I mean, there is tomorrow, you know, ready or not, there's Mets baseball to be played. Right now there is baseball playing right now. As we record this, the Yankees are beating the Nationals 4-1, in case anyone cares. But I want both teams to lose, as does probably most of the audience of this podcast. So
yeah.
I won't bring you any breaking news updates other than the fact that Max Scherzer is getting kind of reamed. So that's probably good just from a Cy Young perspective, is all I'll say.
I'm not watching, so there will be no screaming.
I'm watching, but it is muted in the room right now. It's just, you know, just some baseball on the TV is something.
Hey, I'm Ariel Dimross, the host of a podcast called Reset from Vox.com. Every week, we tackle stories that deal with how technology and science are reshaping our lives.
You know, there's been a lot of scrutiny over the years about the power that these companies have amassed.
We tell stories about the new worlds we are now finding ourselves in, like going to a music concert in a video game.
Minecraft, since the pandemic has happened, has become the go-to hub for these kind of virtual music festivals.
And stories about how certain technologies are being used to exert power over us.
I'm on the other end of the street, closer to the cops, and they just start firing directly at me. So they fire a tear gas canister, lands at our feet.
I tell those stories because no matter how chaotic things get, we still have a chance to learn and change the systems we've created for the better. Listen to Reset every Friday, wherever you get your podcasts, and subscribe so you don't miss a beat. Later, nerds.
So yeah, I guess that's a good transition to start talking about baseball more broadly. So we have baseball. Speaking of this Nationals-Yankees game, it's probably ill-advised, not just from the perspective of this whole season is probably ill-advised right now, but very specifically, Juan Soto tested positive for COVID-19 today, and he played between the time that the test was administered and the time that the test came back positive, he played in exhibition. So all of his teammates that he came in close contact with and all of the Yankees should be, or all the Yankees that he came in close contact with should be, you know, like, isolating. But yet this game is occurring right now.
Maybe you can explain it because you've been studying this and stuff. But they said, like, his two rapid tests came back negative that they did today, but then the one that they sent away to the lab came back positive. So what are these rapid tests?
So the rapid tests, so this is like new to me, the rapid tests, but like they have a really, really high false negative rate, like even more than the, so the
that's not what you want.
The coronavirus tests in general. So I will give a breaking news update, not about the score of the game, but it has begun to absolutely pour and I bet they're going to put the tarp on any second. Oh, yep. And there it goes.
Oh, that's great. Everybody can just huddle inside the poorly ventilated hallways.
Good. Yeah. And like it was, guys, I have to present this image because it's hilarious. So like I don't have the sound on, so I couldn't hear any of it, but the image alone was hilarious. I almost don't want the context of the sound because I think it's funnier without it. So like I'm watching this game with the sound off. Rob, they're interviewing Rob Manfred on the TV, and behind Rob Manfred's head is like giant lightning bolts in the sky beyond Nats Park.
And someone so is trying to tell us something.
Exactly. Okay. Oh my god, it was so funny. Like the game's being played. It hadn't started raining quite. It hadn't started pouring quite yet, but thunderstorms were clearly in the area, and like they're interviewing Rob Manfred and just giant lightning bolts in the sky are appearing, and I was like if there's ever been a sign from nature about anything, it is this right now.
Oh, that was like when it hit the White House like a month or so ago. That was another good one. Not to get too political, but just saying, it's a thing that happened.
So yeah, the game is now been postponed, or they're in rain delay at this time. So at any rate, so the rapid tests have a really high false negative rate, and the tests as a whole have a pretty high false negative rate, because if you're really early on in your infection, you don't have a super high viral load. So the test is PCR based, so they're just amplifying the like bits of viral DNA that are floating around inside you, and if you don't have that many of them, it's hard for the test to pick it up. So the rapid tests, I imagine, I'd have to look up because I haven't researched what exactly the method is of the rapid test, but I imagine it's even more crude than the lab test they're shipping off. And so I know that the false negative rate is higher. So I'm not saying that they're like, that, you know, it's not, the rapid test is wrong necessarily. It's just there's a higher chance that it's wrong.
I mean, they should, regardless, the appropriate response would be to be cautious. Like, if you have two conflicting, if it's like, you might be carrying a highly infectious agent, you might not be, let's just assume you're not. That seems fine. Like, come on. That's...
Yeah.
And, course, and obviously... Like, no, they could never actually do the thing that they should do and isolate, because that would destroy the whole season, and this whole, like, obvious house of cards would just collapse.
Right, right. And obviously Juan Soto himself is not playing, of course. Even baseball wouldn't go that far. So Juan Soto, and he's, as far as we know, he doesn't have symptoms. So Juan Soto himself is not playing. But he, you know, who knows if he transmitted the illness. I mean, if you are asymptomatic, it's already been shown that you can spread this disease. It is at a lower rate than people who are symptomatic, but you can still spread it to other people, even if you don't have symptoms. So he may have unknowingly spread it to various teammates who are now, you know, potentially carrying this virus in this game, playing right now, although not playing because rain delay. But you know what I mean? They're all in the clubhouse together now, like Maggie said, gathered to take shelter from the rain, less than 6 feet apart. So here we are. Although I did see some players mask up as soon as they got into the clubhouse, so that was good to see.
Oh, that's good. To me, that is like the silver lining of this sham of a baseball season, is that I think there has been good opportunity, and there's going to be more good opportunity for players in the spotlight to be like setting these norms. Because I think that's what this country needs, is like very clearly set norms, and that's not coming from the government. So like it falls to the next step down on the totem pole comes athletes,
and we can't rely on MLB to set an example, so we have to rely on the players themselves, unfortunately. And like, you know, it is literally for this game to be happening right now, because the CDC guidelines, which MLB claims it is following in their health and safety protocols. Like if you read the MLB health and safety protocols, it says this outright. People posted it on Twitter, the screenshots of like the place where it says this, but like people who have come into contact with Juan Soto should be self-isolating right now. None of them are. And they're doing it based on this rapid test result. They're saying it's fine because of that. basically. Ugh. Which,
but and he so, still tested it. Positive,
right? And so by their
fact that he tested positive,
by their own protocols, they shouldn't be playing right now, and yet they are. So it just goes to show that MLB is bound and determined to push forward with this season regardless. And it's going to take, I mean, we talked about this a couple of pods ago, it's going to take a hell of a lot for them to stop. And I shudder to think what disaster would have to befall the sport, short of, you know, the deaths of several prominent players, for them to stop this season. And well, it's... ugh.
I was asked at work what my gut feeling was, like, if they play or not. And, like, I was asked that, like, I think, like, a week ago or something. And I said then, and I still think, that there is still a damage control from all the bad PR they got in between, like, the players' union and, you know, all the ugliness that happened. So I feel like they're going to do it no matter what to see if they can grab some goodwill back. And this isn't the way to do it. You're still risking players' health, and it's your own damn fault that all that got leaked to begin with. So I don't know what you're hoping to accomplish by, because, yeah, Juan Soto potentially infecting his teammates because of a bad testing system is not getting you the PR you wanted.
Right. And what was it? Let me pull up the tweet, because it's, I don't want to misrepresent what the tweet said. I'd rather just read it straight up. But this, we've already established from several prominent incidents of teams having to shut down their workouts during summer camp, yep, that, like, the testing isn't, the testing results aren't coming fast enough. And so that's also an issue. Oh, here it is. James Click said today that the Astros had not yet received their COVID-19 test results from yesterday morning. They were tested upon their return from Kansas City after Hunter Dozier's positive test was revealed. Dozier played against the Astros for 6 innings on Monday. So Dozier played not knowing he had a positive test, and then the whole against the Astros, and then the whole Astros test results hadn't come back yet. It's just a mess. It's a mess. And they're supposed to be expedited tests. And
it was always going to be a mess. Unless they did, like, a real bubble, it was always going to be a mess, because somebody's going to get sick, and there's no meaningful mechanism in place to prevent one sick person from getting anybody else sick. That's the problem, is that what they have is a system whereby people will know when they're sick, but will not be able to stop the spread.
Right. And, like, I can't blame necessarily, like, obviously, like, I am not privy to the details, to the nitty-gritty details of how all of this is working. I can't blame the labs necessarily for this, because, like, we talked about on the pod when we were discussing, like, should there be a baseball season, it's not only about health, it's about the ethics of these teams using huge amounts of testing resources just for baseball players. And I got poo-pooed for that, because, like, at the time, the many states, including, like, New York, New Jersey, our general metropolitan area, had flattened their curves. And so, the strain on the testing system and the healthcare system was not as high. But now we're seeing, like, spikes basically everywhere, all over the country, in the states that opened up too soon. And so now the testing resources are at a premium again. And so this is a huge problem.
And, like, even in New York City, where I think I got tested like 6 weeks ago, there's about, and the testing turnaround was like a couple days. And now it's back up over a week again, because not because there's a big spike in the city, but because, you know, all those testing resources have to be spread around. So it's not even like teams in New York will be able to get the turnaround that they should have.
Right. Right. So it's just, it's a mess. And I mean, we never expected anything else. It was always going to be a mess. But they're just making it up.
And also, speaking of messes, the Blue Jays still don't have a home because we're a mess and Canada doesn't want us.
Right.
I have so much respect for Canada about this.
So me too. Being like, nope, you can't play here. We're sorry.
Oh, like, man. Yeah. My kingdom for a country that gave a shit about itself.
Yep. Like, the Blue Jays are like, we're homeless. So, I mean, the latest is that, so they were originally going to play in Pittsburgh, but then, of course, they leaked that before they actually got permission from Pittsburgh. And so that was a no. And now the latest
doesn't
is that
Pittsburgh already have a baseball team?
They sure do. They sure do have a baseball team. And then the latest is that they're actually going to play in Camden Yards in Baltimore. They have to get approval from, you know, I think they had gotten approval from, like, the team in the city, but they're still waiting for, like, the state of Maryland, like Larry Hogan, to approve it.
Well, that's how it got rejected, is the state of Pennsylvania rejected them.
Right, right. You're right. I'm sorry. Correction on that. Correct.
Yeah, so... Yeah, so I don't know. They might be waiting on Maryland to...
Yeah, so I think right now they're just waiting on the state. But yeah, so like I tweeted, the birds in Birdland, get ready. You're going to have two sets of birds in Birdland, potentially. But yeah, the poor Blue Jays, we are literally hours from their opening day, and they do not have a place to play.
My boss, she's from Detroit originally, so she goes back to Michigan in the summer and then around Christmas time, and then she goes, she calls it the UP, I guess that's the local terminology, it's the Upper Peninsula, and there's like a lake and everything up there, and she said she went to visit Sault Ste. Marie, and she was like, Canada made it very clear at the border to turn your ass around.
Yeah, right.
She was like, they were not playing, they're like, no, we don't want you dumb Americans anywhere near us. So, I mean, they should have seen this coming.
Yeah. One of my closest friends lives in Toronto, and she was saying to me, too, like, Canada is very, like, if you're coming from America, you cannot come for any reason unless you, like, unless you have, like, dual citizenship or, like,
other things. She said you needed, you needed basically a special form stating why you were, you like, it was essential travel only, and you needed this form to prove you had to cross the border. So I'm assuming it's the same if you fly.
Yeah, yeah. So the other thing that was happening, so not only is the Blue Jays situation entirely unresolved mere hours from when they're supposed to start playing, the other thing that happened mere hours before baseball was starting is that they changed their playoff format.
Why wasn't all this decided? I don't understand.
You had such a long time to figure this out.
Why wasn't this part of the agreement?
Yeah, no, I mean, like, obviously, so they, like, MLB Players Association and baseball and owners spent so much time arguing about, like, salary stuff that they just didn't figure out how the, like, playoffs were going to work or anything like that.
Seems like it should be a priority.
Yeah.
I have to say, if I was running a sports league, playoffs would be way up there.
Well, number one, health and safety, which also got pushed by the wayside. And number two would be the actual playing of the games and the playoffs. And both of those things became secondary to how much money can we squeeze out of the players.
Literally the day that games were starting, it was like, breaking. Here's the playoff format. Like, what? Are you serious?
Like, there was, like, rumors, like, a couple days ago, because what did I do in the morning news? It was, I think, Wednesday. Yeah, I did it Wednesday for today. So it was like, oh, Rob Manfred is considering expanding the playoff format. I'm like, eh, it's just rumors, whatever. And then all of a sudden today, it's like, breaking! New playoff format! I was like, what?
Yeah, so the... is it official?
One that the players heard about from Twitter. Like, they kept hearing about all the other negotiations going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure it got leaked and that was that. But how do you do this hours before the season is set to begin? Like,
is it official, or do the owners still have to vote on it? I know that MLB Players Association, like, basically agreed, like, yeah, like, do whatever you want.
Yeah, they agreed to it.
Which, right now, the proposal is it's the expanded playoffs with 16 teams making the playoffs, which is a total of the top two teams from each division, and then the two best records among the remaining teams as the wild card. So, like, a full, like, more than half of the teams are going to make the playoffs now.
But then, didn't they get to pick? I saw something from Olney, like, the top teams get to pick who they play?
Yeah, that was going to be part of the whole selection show thing, remember? Yeah, remember when there was going to be a selection show and all of that stuff, and the top teams were going to get to pick their opponents in the next round and all that stuff? Oh my god.
Like, well, why?
How could it go wrong?
Yeah. Oh, interesting wrinkle in the 16-team playoff format. All second-place teams in the 6th division qualify. Then the 7th and 8th teams will be chosen by best record among other teams. But then I could have sworn there was, like, a selection show where they pick who their opponent was going to be.
That was going to be it before all of this bullshit happened, but...
So maybe that didn't get finalized?
Here,
so,
like, hang what on. The hell? The first round of the playoffs, scheduled for September 29th through October 2nd, and each league will be four three-game series with all games... Is this from today? Yes. Making sure this is the latest. With all games played at the higher seed's home stadium, the rest of the rounds will be their customary length. The two division series in each league will be five game series, while the AL and NL championship series and World Series will be seven game series. So, but I'm trying to see the whole, like, pick your opponents thing.
Oh, wait, I got it. As part of the 16-team expanded playoff proposal, the number 1, 2, and 3 seeds in each league, the division winners, would pick their opponents among the other 5 teams with a selection show.
Oh, Jesus Christ, this is so stupid.
Why? So, like, if, let's say...
Because money, Linda. They want more playoff revenue. That's the whole point.
I get that, but what's the point of picking people? Like,
to create drama.
The show.
They want, like, they basically, like, want this whole, like, yeah, they want this selection show for, like, drama because they think they're, like, the NFL draft or some shit.
It has a real, I was just going to say, it has this NFL draft kind of vibe.
So you won't
I can't even imagine what the show is going to be like with everybody in, like, the studio and just big, like, bam, bam, 3D letters, like, whoosh.
And then they'll bring in, like, Harold Reynolds to analyze terribly why Pete Alonso will be the difference maker in the series between, like, the Mets and Braves or whatever.
Live on the pod, I'm going to put the gif of Rob Manfred with lightning in the background in our, like, mine, Linda, and Maggie Slack channel so you guys can see it, because you have this. I'm telling you, it was wild. It literally was like, I'm not big on religion or spirituality,
oh my God!
But, like, if this isn't an act of, like, something... I don't know what to tell you. It's just like Rob Manfred with, like, giant bolts of lightning in the back.
No, it looks like when, like, the devil is coming in, like, movies.
It really is like that. It's amazing, isn't it? Oh,
it looks fake.
It's so good. It's so good that this might be my walk-off win. I don't even know. It's, like, my favorite thing to happen in the past while.
I feel like you would film this exact moment for the movie about 2020, and somebody would look at it and say, like, nobody's going to believe that.
Yeah, like, that's fake.
That's, like, the cheapest CGI I've ever seen.
It looks like cheap CGI, and it's real. It's amazing.
Like, yeah, like, this is basically, like, somebody coming up, like Maggie said, of, like, a movie about 2020 and overdid it. Like, you're a little too on the nose.
Yep. Incredible. And now we just have Alex Rodriguez and Tom Verducci talking in the booth for who knows how long until the...
That's like nails on a chalkboard.
It is. And A-Rod talked about how...
I like A-Rod in the booth, though.
He's good in the booth.
He's better as an analyst. But
he is better as an analyst. But I will say, during this game, he did say that he loved the runner on second to start extra innings. He said he loved it.
Oh, that's a flag.
It's a hot take from future Mets owner Alex Rodriguez.
I definitely don't want him out of the booth, though, in any form.
No.
In the booth, I can deal with. Although I reserve the right to revoke that statement if he keeps going on about this runner on second nonsense.
Apparently, so, like, I didn't have the sound on during this, and so I've just been passed a tweet that says that is, like, you know, it's a direct word for word of the exchange between A-Rod and Rob Manfred during the interview.
Oh, no.
Get ready for this. A-Rod, Commissioner Manfred, I want to ask you about the leadership of having to direct the efforts to put together all this protocol between the players and the clubs. Just a tremendous job. Oh, Manfred, God. Well, thank you. Kill me now. I
can't. So he's sucking up to the commissioner so his bid gets accepted?
Yes, clearly sucking up to the commissioner because pretty soon the commissioner is going to work for him. Cool. Very good stuff. Love to see it. Gag inducing, just the worst. Oh God.
Apparently they're in the final stages of the bidding, but
oh God. So who's still like in it? So we've got the Cohen folks are still in it. We get
A-Rod.
A-Rod's still in it. And
I think the British people?
The British people still in it. What about like
the Devils
Sixers guy still in it?
Yeah.
I have not been following this at all.
I'm no, just like, the literal devil, Sheldon Alexander, is not in it.
Is not in it. Has not placed a bid for
the he might be the mystery bidder.
Yeah, maybe he's the mystery bidder. But yeah, I haven't been following this.
Some news guy did specifically say, no, it's not him.
Okay, so it was confirmed. Okay, that's good.
Yeah, so we're all right on that one. That was like, I think that was the day after our last pod, and I was like, I cannot possibly believe that this news is dropping when we're sitting out there talking about, like, how Cohen's not really a great guy. Like, thanks, really.
Yeah.
Really putting it all in perspective. But no, he is not among them.
Okay. Oh, let's see. Those still reportedly involved in the process include billionaire hedge fund manager Steve Cohen, a group led by Josh Harris and David Blitzer. I think that's the Devils people.
Yes.
And the group fronted by Alex Rodriguez.
Cool. So I guess the British people aren't in it
anymore. Yeah.
But, you know. So, yeah, I actually think Chris McShane, our dear Amazing Avenue leader, summed it up the best. His was my favorite tweet of today in just, like, it's, like, concise summing up of everything that's happening. He said, when it's a few hours before first pitch, one of the best players in the sport who would play in that game tests positive for COVID, one of your teams still doesn't have a home, and you might still tinker with your playoff format, you might not be ready to have a season.
Yeah.
So, basically.
That's pretty much, that sums it up.
Sums it up pretty good. But I guess before we move to walk-off wins, one thing, and I didn't put this in our notes, so I'm kind of springing this on you guys last minute, so I'm sorry if you don't have good answers. I'm sorry for putting you on the spot. But I am curious to see if either of you two have any sort of, like, bold predictions for this season, other than, like, it might not, you know, complete itself. But, you know, like, bold predictions for this season, either, you know, in the wider MLB or Mets specific regarding, like, who might win the major awards or, like, a surprise dark horse to, like, win the World Series or any sort of thing like that or any sort of fun Mets prediction, like, how many home runs Pete will hit or whatever. But I'm just wondering if you guys have any predictions for the season.
Oh, I went all in on Jed Lowry last week. Look at how that ended up.
Oh, no. Yeah, maybe Linda shouldn't speak anything into existence at this point. Yeah.
Or should I make it, like, opposite day? Like, I think Max Scherzer is going to be awesome this year.
I think maybe, let's see, something like maybe Jeff McNeil will have more home runs than Michael Conforto.
Oh.
I don't know.
Nice.
I'm not committing to that. I'm committing to the format.
Nice. I like it, though. That's bold. I do like it.
Yeah, I'll just go with that, because if anybody remembers this at the end of the season, then either it was a short season and nobody cares, or they have a lot of time on their hands.
They're showing the rain at Nationals Park right now, and there's literally, like, waterfalls coming down from the upper tiers of the stadium.
Oh, so lovely.
That's good. But, yeah.
I'm just saying, like, it's going to be, I don't even want to get too far ahead, because I don't even know if there is going to be playoffs, but something wacky is going to happen. Like, two of the most random teams, like, the Rangers and the Reds are going to be in the World Series.
I wouldn't be surprised at all.
And, like, Joey Votto will all of a sudden get hot. Well, Joey Votto is always hot, but in both senses of the word.
Linda's getting horny on the main, everyone.
Okay. I'll just drop that in there. I am wearing my JD Davis jersey.
Oh, yeah. Linda got a JD Davis jersey, everyone. The brand is strong.
I had to. I love my mans. And him comforting Maroff in the dugout while he was at first. I was like, no touching, JD. Stop it. But then it also warmed my heart. I'm like, I'm so torn. This is like 2020 in a nutshell. What do I do? How do I feel? But yeah, this, I guess my prediction is like two totally random. Like, I don't know. Like, is Lance Lynn even on the Rangers anymore? I don't know. But he'll be the difference maker in the World Series, like win the World Series MVP, and everybody's just gonna be like, "What was 2020?" Like,
Lance Lynn baseball is on the Rangers, by the way.
All right, so he's my World Series MVP. I'm going all in on Lance Lynn, and Todd Frazier will hit a deciding home run in that World Series.
Oh, that's awesome! That's a great bold prediction. I love it.
That's my bold prediction.
I'll give a bold prediction in a minute, but to delay so I have time to think, I will give a not bold prediction, which is that basically the teams that I think are gonna, like, this seems gross to say, and I hate saying it out loud, that will, like, weather this season the best are teams that can, at the drop of a hat, essentially, like, replace their entire team. And so, like, the Mets are not one of those teams, FYI.
No.
In case you didn't already realize this, the Mets are not one of those teams. But, like, teams that have a really robust farm system of, like, near-ready prospects. So I'm thinking teams like the Braves are really well set up to weather this season. Teams like the Yankees are really well set up to weather this season. Because, like, if the entire, unlike the Mets, if the entire Braves pitching staff goes down, for example, they can replace it with, like, at least suitable prospects. Whereas the Mets could not do that. So I think that, like, those are the types of teams that will make it this year. Let me think of my bold prediction. Let's see. My bold prediction, just because I don't want to lend credence to the Mets being like, you know, a calf strain, it's not a big deal. But I still believe in Marcus Stroman and height don't measure heart. So my bold prediction is that Marcus Stroman is going to come back this season and he's going to be great. I'm going to lend some hope on the pod. I'm not going to say that he's going to come back, like, right away or anything like that. But I'm going to say it sounds like a terrible injury, he's only going to be out for, like, maybe half the season. And he'll come back and do really well in the second half.
Because I want that, one, so they extend him, obviously, because yes. I love him. And two, because I know this is small in the grand scheme of things, but I was really looking forward to seeing him pitch with a mask on.
Yes.
He seemed so pumped about it.
He was very excited about it, it's true.
I was like, oh, Stroman, I love it. But
he's such a good egg.
He is. I love him. And I'm just so afraid where this is the last we've seen of him in a Met uniform.
I'm, like, oddly almost more devastated about the Stroman injury than I was about the Syndergaard Tommy John surgery.
I am too, actually, because I kind of expected it. I know what, not at the time, it's like, oh, well, the season's, you know, probably going to be canceled or it's not going to be a real season. So it's like, whatever, if he needs it, this is probably the time to do it. But I'm like, this hurts.
Exactly. This hurts. And it happened, like, right before the season was going to start. And we, like, we knew that the Mets' rotation and pitching depth in general was held together by duct tape, but, like, at least, like, it was still okay at that point. Like, we were like, all right, at least we have our rotation. Even though, like, Syndergaard is down, at least we have, like, five major league pitchers in our rotation, in theory. But now that's not true anymore.
It's not even close to true.
No. So,
yeah, and I wasn't saying that they were all, like, good major league pitchers, but they were all, like, major league pitchers, but no, not a thing.
Everybody complaining about, like, Kay and Dunn. I liked your tweet, Allison, was like, no, we should be talking about why they didn't sign Zach.
Yeah, I made a tweet about that because I knew that the inevitable reaction was going to be like, shouldn't have traded Kay and Dunn, even though we literally traded Kay for Stroman, who is better. But yeah, like, so I made a tweet that said, hang on, I'll scroll down and find it. I tweeted a lot today. I shouldn't have tweeted as much as I did today. Here we go.
That's me there, every day.
There has now been the inevitable string of shouldn't have traded Dunn and Kay tweets when instead we should be discussing why the Mets signed Rick Porcello instead of Zach Wheeler.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah, like, all of Mets prospect Twitter is now, like, on fire, like they always do every time, like, Kelenic, like, scratches his nose. Like, they're always, like, on fire about, like, oh my god, the Mets have, like, the reason why the Mets have no pitching depth is because they decimated the minor leagues and mortgaged the future. And it's like, yeah,
they don't sign free agents.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, there's some truth to that, but, like, really, you could have just signed better pitchers than the ones you signed.
I mean, you could have even signed Garrett Cole, for God's sakes.
Yeah. Like, instead, they were just like, Rick Porcello seems fine. And then, like, oh, also Michael Wacha. Now we have the deepest rotation in the entire major leagues. And it's like, and then what happened?
Mm-hmm.
No, At least Wacha looked good.
Yeah, I hope he does well about Wacha, Maggie.
Ooh,
yeah.
Second bold prediction, Michael Wacha is good.
There you go.
There you go.
I want to say Michael Wacha is good, but now I'm scared to give any Mets predictions.
Yeah, maybe we could chalk that up as my prediction, and hopefully okay. I'm not cursed yet, but who knows?
Yeah, Linda, your prediction should probably be everybody will die.
I want to say something about my mans, but I'm not going to. I don't want to jinx him.
No, don't jinx your mans.
I would be devastated if anything happens to JD.
Yeah, that would be awful. It would suck so much joy out of it.
It really would. It wouldn't be like the personality of this. Like they find dudes, but he seems to be like in the middle of it. Whenever something happens, like it's JD. I don't like one of the first times they were back at Citi Field. I forget who the video was. I think it was somebody random, like Jake Marisnik taking batting practice, and they were playing Take on Me. And there's somebody singing the chorus very loudly in the back, and everybody agreed, right? That's totally JD singing Take on Me. So it's like the fun would just be, like, not the same. I mean, I would still love them, and, you know, they have fun dudes, but I just love JD.
Keep the Queen's Cookie Club together 2020.
Yes, that's all we want. This kid, this the bare minimum. Can we ask for that?
Yes, I think that we're allowed to ask for that.
Jeff McNeil did say he was going to continue the tradition even if they had to Zoom their cookie club meetings.
I'm down.
I'm down, too.
Let's do it. So before we move to walk-off wins and do our happy segment, we will start things off with something even more happy than potentially any of our walk-off wins, which is that we are doing a Dollars for Dingers this year. Announcement, we are doing a Dollars for Dingers this year. It is not going to be the same as Dollars for Dingers last year. We really wanted to do like the same thing that we did last year and keep it going as an annual tradition, but obviously circumstances being what they are,
we are not going to pack you guys into a tavern.
Yeah, exactly. No. We are not going to pack you guys into McKellar because that would be a bad decision. So instead, we are going to do a modified version. And of course, obviously the season is not a normal baseball season either, so we didn't want to wait till September to do Dollars for Dingers. Last year, September was our month of Dollars for Dingers, but we are obviously nervous that the baseball season might not even make it that far, unfortunately. So we decided as a somewhat safer bet, we are going to do the month of August as our Dollars for Dingers month. So we are going to do an entirely virtual Dollars for Dingers with the month of August being the month. And we will do the same thing as last year, where we will have a spreadsheet that we will post on all of our social medias, various things. Amazing Avenue will make a post about it. We will have a big Google Docs spreadsheet where you can post your pledge for Dollars for Dingers. And we will then do a virtual sort of Dollars for Dingers gathering where we will give away the prizes. There won't be any sort of tickets or raffles or anything this year the way there was last year, because that's obviously like way too complicated to coordinate virtually. It's just a lot, and it's a lot to coordinate getting all the prizes and everything, and it's really hard when everybody is, you know, hunkered down in their various like states right now. So instead, we have an existing pool of prizes with maybe one or two. We are not announcing the official prizes yet because we might still add some. But we have an existing pool of prizes and like maybe a couple of things that we're going to add to that. And basically, if you make a pledge in any amount on the spreadsheet, then you will be entered into the drawing to win any of the prizes, and we'll just draw someone for each of the prizes at the end, and we'll have some sort of like Zoom or something for everybody who, you know, pledged, or anyone who wants to join us. We'll have some sort of virtual Zoom, whatever, probably Zoom, because that's what I have, that's the platform I have an account for. So we'll probably do some sort of Zoom thing where at the end, in place of our McKellar gathering, we'll have a Zoom where we virtually announce the winners of Dollars for Dingers and thank everyone, and just chat about the Mets and the season, and people can ask us questions, whatever you want. So yeah, we will, once we have an official list of prizes, we will announce that for you guys and tweet that out. But in the meantime, August, over the next few days, look for tweets and various things with the spreadsheet and everything and all the other info about Dollars for Dingers. But we are doing it this year, so get your wallets ready. We are benefiting.
Hopefully Pete Alonso makes us all broke again.
Yes.
Because that is what I will always take away from the inaugural Dollars for Dingers, is that Pete Alonso murdered my bank account, and bless him for it.
Yeah, Pete Alonso murdered all of our wallets, and we couldn't be happier, and we want him to do it again.
And Dom Smith got us to an even 50 on the very last hit of the season.
Which was so good. Chef's kiss.
It was so perfect.
Chef's kiss good.
It made me so happy.
I legit, like, cried. It was so good.
I did too.
It was so good. And all I want is for that to happen again. This year, because obviously coronavirus is something that is impacting all of us, we are benefiting New York area food banks with our Dollars for Dingers fundraiser. So we're very excited about that. So it's a very worthy cause. And they're trying to feed a lot of people right now, and a lot of people need help right now. The economy is obviously not doing so great because of coronavirus, and more people need assistance every day. And obviously the food bank is always doing good work, even not during these challenging times, but they need our help more than ever. So that's who we've chosen to benefit for this year's Dollars for Dingers. So we're very excited about that. Keep an eye on our social media for the next week or so as we get that up and running. But yeah, August will be the month, so just pledge any dollar amount you're comfortable with. It doesn't matter whether you pledge 1 cent or $10 per home run. You will be entered the same as anybody else. So just pledge whatever you are comfortable with. And if you pledge in any amount, you will be eligible to win one of our prizes. So we're very excited. So get pumped for Dollars for Dingers.
We'll give some stats on home runs over the last couple Augusts as well, just so like you know kind of roughly what to expect. Although, again, Pete Alonso could show up.
And we have Cespedes this year, too.
Oh, my God.
We do. It's a weird season in a lot of ways. It's like, we will post, obviously, like, you know, previous Augusts, what the Mets have done as a team home run-wise, so you can get an idea of what pledge you're comfortable with. But, you know, keep in mind that, A, it's a different Mets lineup with different players, and B, you know, coronavirus impacts all of this, not only because, you know, certain players may fall ill or whatever, but the Mets have different opponents than they usually have, and a different distribution of opponents than they usually have. So that's also a factor. Who knows? Who knows what'll happen? But that makes it, you know, all the more fun, kind of, in a way. So get psyched for Dollars for Dingers. I'm certainly excited. I can't wait to get this up and running again, even if it's not what we all imagined for this year. I'm still excited that we can do something. So Dollars for Dingers. Yay! Yay, yay, yay.
Yay!
Hopefully
yay!
The Mets make us broke again. Hit lots of homers, New York Mets. Please, 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 please. But in the meantime, we will do walk-off wins, where each of us talks about what is making us happy this week, baseball-related or otherwise. Linda Surovich, what is your walk-off win for this week?
Well, I'm kind of torn because I know I've talked about it a lot, but my closing is finally on Monday.
Yay!
Officially, I've got all the paperwork. I've gotten the closing costs, which not so fun, but it's a walk-off win, so we'll keep it positive. I got into the apartment. I was able to measure, so now I can do the fun stuff with paint and floors and furniture and so I can start planning all that. I took lots of pictures, and it was bigger than I remembered, which was also a nice surprise. So, yeah, finally, I will be officially a homeowner, well, co-op owner, on July 27th at 3 o'clock when I sign my life away. But I'm excited. Yeah, I mean, I'm a little sad it took so long because, you know, I have a little patio and I was looking forward to, you know, just sitting out there and, you know, having a drink and reading or listening to a baseball game. And so it kind of took a little longer than I expected, but I guess, you know, life is kind of weird right now for everybody. So I'm not going to complain too much. And, you know, it's fun. A little nerve wracking, a little daunting, but, I'm finally getting excited that, you know, I can make it my own. And I've been looking at, like, you know, just like little things to, you know, make it mine. So that's number one. Number two is the NHL finally released the name of their Seattle team, and it's the Kraken, which I think is amazing. So cool. And their logo is so cool, and like everything about them, like they had these hype videos, and so upset. And I always felt a special kinship with the Mariners ever since I went to Cooperstown for the induction, and like I just got to know their fans, and their fans were all lovely, just lovely people. Like would chat with you, and their fan base has kind of suffered a lot, so I've always felt like, you know, they were like kind of like the West Coast us. And then just to top it all off, they considered naming the NHL Seattle team the Metropolitans. So I feel like they're us in spirit. So now I'm gonna adopt the Seattle Kraken as my second.
They had the good. They had the good sense to look at that and say no. We do not want to be the Mets.
Yeah, exactly.
Who was it who said the horror one Mets has unleashed on the world is enough? So they did have the good sense to finally say, because Kraken is way cooler. Mets Kraken, like, come on.
Release the Kraken.
Yeah, so I am so pumped for all the Unleash the Kraken.
Oh, it's going to be good. And, like,
it's gonna be good.
The aesthetic, like, as someone who doesn't, you know, follow hockey in any respect mostly, other than, like, hockey being... Hockey will forever be a part of my life, even if it wasn't, like, at all a major part of my life before, because it was the last sport I saw before COVID.
I know!
It was the last sport a bunch of us saw before COVID. But as someone who doesn't follow hockey at all, I just, like, still love the aesthetic of the whole thing. Like, the color scheme is on point. Mm-hmm. The anchor logo with the space needle on it, yes, is absolutely genius. It's a beautiful logo.
That. Oh, they just nailed it. And they then nailed also it. The S is a tentacle, and then with the red eye, oh,
it's very good.
Yeah, it's definitely on point. And I was like, is hockey doing things correctly for once? Like, the fact that the NHL is the one that looks good out of all of this is really saying something.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, they handled the playoffs correctly. They're doing the bubble. So far, they've been doing testing fine. Like, I haven't heard any complaints about, like, tests being delayed or anything.
I wonder what it feels like.
So it was like the NHL is actually kind of ahead of baseball right now, which is a weird feeling because the NHL is usually the redheaded stepson or whatever the expression is. But so yeah, go Seattle Kraken! You're my new, you're my new favorite team.
Heck yeah, Maggie, what is your walk-off win for this week?
So after doing a little research to get a sense of how everyone is behaving over there, I threw the kids in a rental car and we drove over on Monday to Orchard Beach, where we had never been before. We usually go down to the Brooklyn beaches, but this is much closer, and smaller. And it was just lovely. I mean, it was, so we went on Monday when, we knew that there wouldn't be as much of a crowd, which of course means it was 95 degrees by 1 o'clock in the afternoon, but we were already gone by then because we got there at 8:45. And it was just, it's a beautiful beach. It's on the Sound, so it's a little quieter than a lot of beaches. Like, the water is not so intense. And it was just a really nice beach. It was really clean. They had a snack bar, which, you know, we had not realized that the snack bar would be open. So we brought, like, the entire grocery store packed into our cooler, but it's good to know. And it was just a really lovely day. And I would kind of like one of those moments where I'm like soaking in the beautiful ocean. I could hear the kids like giggling, and I'm just thinking like, why didn't we do this a month ago? But that's okay. The important thing is we did it now, and it's a fantastic beach, and everybody should go there except for the day in a couple weeks when we will be going back. But it was the distancing was fine. You know, there was plenty of, you know, we were obviously there early, and it started to get a little more crowded as we were leaving when it was just too hot. I don't understand how people are going out on the beach starting at 1 o'clock, but okay. But even then, it was still like not 6 feet away, like 10, 15 feet away, which is what you really want. So it was felt like a pretty safe place to be. Again, I would not be there on like a Saturday, but for a Monday, it was really nice.
That's awesome.
You picked a great day for it too.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was really, it was amazing. And the kids love it. The kids were so, so happy. Just like splashing and digging. And at one point for about 20 minutes, Tommy just lay down on the sand and like let the sun like go on him and like ran his fingers through the sand. I was like, that is a kid in hog heaven. Like, it was just what we all needed. So it's nice
to have
a break.
At the beach is so fun just to see. Yeah. Like, they just have a ball with just sand. It's just such a simple pleasure for them.
Yeah. We went like shells. Oh my God. We found so many shells.
Yeah.
And it was just like endless joy.
One of my favorite things to do at the beach as a kid was that my dad and I would make shell mazes. So we would dig in the sand, and we would kind of make like a maze, like one of those like mazes that you would like see on a like coloring book or like a kid's menu at a restaurant. And we would just put shells in the little like divots, and make like a little shell maze in the sand. That was one of my favorite things as a kid at the beach. And I feel like that's been the thing that's been, like, missing from this COVID summer. I go to the beach at least once every summer, and I haven't gone at all this year. And it makes me sad. I wish I could go. But yeah. My family is going in a couple of weeks, like August 8th or something like that. But I'm going to be moved to D.C. already and starting my new job, and it's just going to be too much for me to be able to, you know, take off immediately and go up there. So, but I hope that they have a good time. I'm really jealous that they're going to get to go. Luckily, my aunt's house in Cape Cod is a private beach, so it never gets like super crowded. So they'll be able to social distance properly and all that. So that should be good for them. So I'm really excited that they get to go, even if I didn't get to go.
You live through them.
Yep. I will absolutely live vicariously through them. I'm sure I'll be sent pictures and all that. So I feel like it's kind of like too early to make my walk-off win, like being like, you know, my DC move and everything, because like we're still knee deep in it and I'm in the like I am stressed out stage of it. And so I feel like that'll be a future walk-off win. But for now, my walk-off win is going to be a very simple baseball related walk-off win, in the sense that I feel like this is the season, if any, that we're going to embrace weird baseball. And for me, the peak of weird baseball is that the Orioles opening day starter is none other than Tommy Malone, and he is wearing number 69. So that is my walk-off win. Just Orioles opening day starter number 69, Tommy Malone, is just like way too on brand, and it kind of kills me.
Did I tell you guys the Tommy Malone story?
No, tell us the Tommy Malone
gosh.
Story.
Okay, so I was at a game with my son, Tommy, who was probably, he was 3 or 4 at the time. He was an old 3 or a young 4. And there's a guy behind us, a classic Mets fan guy, shouting. And this is by the way, was the start in which Tommy Malone gave up, I want to say, 9 runs in 2 or 3 innings.
Oh, no.
And so the guy behind us is shouting, top of his lungs, "You suck, Tommy. Tommy,
oh, I think you did tell us this, but I want you to keep telling it because it's so sad, but so funny.
And Tommy's like a really chill kid and wasn't like offended. He just sort of kept looking at me like, what's going on? And finally, I turned around. And I said to the guy, I was like, I'm sorry. His name is Tommy, and he's getting a little confused. He goes, oh my God, ma'am, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, little buddy. Enjoy the game, little buddy. Hey, Malone, you suck.
That's the most New Yorker thing, and I love it.
New York City in one, like, absolutely. He would never think of saying something that would offend a child. Like, God, no, he only wants to offend Tommy Malone. But yeah, that was really awesome. So yeah. I will have a soft spot in my heart for Tommy Malone until the day I die, because that was just an amazing moment. Anyway, I'm glad I got to tell the story again.
Yeah, amazing. It's so good. And yeah, just like, you know, like, I feel like this is, like, again, it's such a weird season, and obviously the Orioles are just, like, in such a dark place in their franchise history right now. They're just so bad.
Relatable.
And, yeah, like, you know, if anything can bring small joys, we should just embrace it. And, I don't know, like, opening day starter Tommy Malone wearing number 69 is just, like, it brings me a great amount of joy that I cannot even describe.
Like, it has big video game energy.
It does. It has huge video game energy. And, like, obviously, like, it comes for a sad reason, which is that, like, the Orioles actually do have one, very good starting pitcher in John Means. But he's hurt, like many other players right now, because this season is weird and they shouldn't be playing it. But so the depth behind John Means is, you know, as Mets fans can relate to, non-existent. And so Tommy Malone is now the opening day starter. And so, but, you know, let's get weird. I'm ready for it. I, like, you know, I'm excited to be back in, because I'll be in the DC area. So I'm excited to be, like, back in, you know, technically kind of Orioles territory again, and hopefully when things go back to semi somewhat normal, I'll be able to go back to Camden Yards and root for, you know, Tommy Malone or whatever other weird Oriole is playing at that time. So, you know, just a small baseball thing.
The Orioles sign Jason Vargas.
Ooh. I put that at pretty high. Oh,
okay.
Like, at least, I mean, like, obviously, like, not super, super high, but, like, I would say, I'd give that a good 20%.
Okay. At least. Okay.
Yeah. Orioles, Jason Vargas, Baltimore Oriole. Yeah, that has some energy that I can get behind. Oh, yeah.
Runners in the Jason Vargas sweepstakes.
But I can only imagine the number of dingers he's going to give up. It's going to be astronomically high.
Oh, Vargy.
Oh, Vargy. Let's go party. So that does it for the show this week. You know, we are, you know, as mixed feelings as ever about opening day, but it's happening tomorrow and I am excited in spite of myself. But in the meantime, you can go to amazingavenue.com, check out all of our fantastic content. We had a rapid fire, many, many season previews published over the past day or two, and we'll continue to publish, finishing up the season previews of every single person on the Mets roster. So read those. We also have, like I said, our rapid fire opinion piece about who the Mets' fifth starter should be. We have our 60 word summaries of what we expect from the season, or hope from the season, or feel about the season. Each writer was wanted to submit 60 words for 60 games, no more, no less. So very succinct takes on each of our parts, so you can check that out, and so much more. Obviously, as games begin, we'll have our usual recaps, analysis, everything. So go to amazingavenue.com, check that out. Also check out our entire suite of podcasts, Amazing Avenue Audio. They're all doing fantastic work. You can follow Amazing Avenue on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Amazing Avenue. You can follow the show on Twitter at A Pod of Their Own. You can follow each of us on Twitter. I am at Petite PhD. Where are you, Linda?
At Linda Sorovich.
And where are you, Maggie?
at Maggie162.
Please subscribe to Amazing Avenue Audio. Rate and review the podcast on whatever podcast platform you choose. It really helps new people find the show. The original intro and outro music to this podcast is by Bunga. Let's fucking go, Mets. And don't forget, there is no crying in podcasting.